Today's here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf He. We already did a little bit on Daf He yesterday, Amud Aleph. This is really planned to have us be able to do two Shiurim. The Shabbos and Tisha B'Av Shiurim days will be difficult for people to do. Obviously, Shabbos we can't dictate, and Tisha B'Av, it's a day that you can't learn. So people will be breaking the fast, and we'll try to have that Daf Yomi already finished by then as well. So we are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Robert Iram. That's Larry Iram's father, Avram Ben Tzvi Aryeh. All the Neshavos we learned for Shevet Aliyah. In yesterday's Shir, we had discussed where do we see that there is a minimum height of 10 tefachim for a sukkah, that the airspace has to be 10 tefachim. We brought a raya from the Aron. We said that the Aron was 1.5 amma in its komaso, and according to the amma being the size of 6 tefachim, that's 6 tefachim and a half of a amma, which is 3 tefachim, which is 9 tefachim, and then the kaporis was a 10th tefach, and therefore we brought down rayas that is a separate entity. That shows that 10 tefachim is a mechitza between this world and the world to come. We wrote down various psukim to support this, and that's where we pick up the Gemara now, on Hey Omid Aleph, 15 lines down from the top. So we start off with Bishloma Aron Tisha. Clearly, the Aron is Tisha. The Pasuk clearly says so. If you hold that there are 6 tefachim in an Amma, so the Pasuk says, Dirsiv, V'yosu Aron Atzei Shitim, you make the Aron out of this type of wood called shitim. So the atze shitim have to be the dimensions of the aron, amasayim v'chetzi arko, 2.5 amma in its length, v'amma v'chetzi rochbo, 1.5 amma in its width, and v'amma v'chetzi komoso. And the critical part that we're interested in is that it's 1.5 ammas tall, and therefore, again, if an amma is 6 tefachim, and you have 1 amma and a half of an amma, so that's 6 plus 3 is 9 tefachim, and then we know that the Aron is in its height, 9 tefachim. But the Gemara now is asking, El kaporis tefach minol. How do we know that the top covering, the kaporis, the covering on top of the Aron, where do we know that that was 1 tefach in its thickness? In other words, adding 1 tefach to the height of the total Aron structure. So here we have a Gemara that says, the Tani Rebbe Chanina. We learned in a Braisa, the Rebbe Chanina said as follows, Kol ha-kelim sha'osu Moshe Rabbeinu. All the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu did, all the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, nos no behen Torah midas arkan umidas rochban umidas kumbasan. The Torah tells us the three-dimensional height, width, and length of all of such kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made. However, the kapores, in regards to the kapores, it tells us midas arka umidas rochban. It tells us the length and the width. Nosno, there the Torah gave us what those dimensions are, but it never mentions what the kumbasa, what the height of the kapores is. Midas kumbasa. Lo nosna. That wasn't mentioned in the Torah. No, so how do we figure out how much is the height of the kaporis? So he says, Tzei ulamad mi pachu shevakelim. We have a rule that it probably is not going to be smaller than the smallest of the kelim. So take the dimensions of the smallest keli, the principle of tafasta maruba lo tafasta, we've mentioned many times, and Gemara will mention it again now. So you take the smallest measure of a existing keli, and assume, since the Torah doesn't tell us the measure of the height of the kapores, mistama, that is the height that is intended. Say alamad mi pachu sheba kelim, shenemai, because the pachus of the kelim, it says, this is around the shulchan, it says, v'yosi solo misgeres tofach sobit. You'll make around the shulchan this misgeres. Now, as we'll ultimately see, this misgeres is not simply a ledge around the shulchan. As we'll see later on in the Gemara, according to some, it was below the shulchan, and it supported the actual shulchan. According to others, it was above the shulchan, but it wasn't a simple decorative ledge. So the Torah tells us, O yasisa lo, for the shulchan you shall make a mizgeres, a border around it that is 1 tefach in height, tefach soviv. So therefore, just like by the shulchan, malahalan, this miskeres was a tefach, that is the smallest pachu shebekelim, so too, mistoma, the kaporis is afkan tefach as well. That's what Rabbi Chanina darshened out in the Braisa. Where it says, v'neilaf mikelim gufayu, why are you learning it out from something that is like a michshare keli? This border, this miskeres, doesn't seem to be a real part of the keli. It sounds at this point like it's a decorative part, or a shiare keli, or a michshare keli, and not the keli itself. So go pick a keli and compare it to one of the kelim, rather than comparing it to something that is not the keli itself. So where it says, no, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. Because if you were to go and take some other keli and use that, that would be larger than a tefach. And therefore, for example, if you took the shulchan would be 1.5 amah. So it doesn't make sense to say that the kaporet should be 1.5 amah. But the Gemara asked that question, should you take it from a keli itself? And the Gemara says, tefas the mu'at below tefas. If you take too much, then you grab too much and you're not going to grab anything. But tefas the mu'at, then tefas the. But if you take the smallest amount, so nobody can say, well, it doesn't mean that. No, it must at least mean the smallest amount. So when you have the mi'at, the rab, and mishtayim, so we say, when you're dealing with a plural, it always means at least two. There's no way they can mean only one, so it must mean at least two. That's tefas the mu'at. If you take more than two, who says it's more than two? But if you take two, it certainly has to be at least two. And that's the same thing over here. It makes sense to compare it to the miskeres, which is one tefach, rather than, let's say, comparing to the shulchan, which is 1.5 amah. Moses says, okay, if you want to take the smallest type of a item in the Beis HaMikdash, so take the tzitz. The nail of mitzitz, as we'll see, the tzitz was a half of a tefach. It was two etzbos. The Tanya, as the Braisa tells us, tzitz was one of the shmona bugadim in the Kohen Gadol that he wore on his forehead near his tefillin. So let us say that the tzitz, which is only a half of a tefach, is the shear of the kaporis. The Tanya, tzitz domek kimin tas shows off. The tzitz was like a plate of gold. The rochav shtei etzbos, and its width on the coin's forehead, its width was two etzbos. Again, four etzbos are in a tefach, so this is a half of the tefach. Umukov meozen leozen, it surrounded the coin's forehead from one ear to the other ear, from his left ear to his right ear. It went around this plate. The Kosovo love shtei shitim, and there were two rows of words on it. Now, there's a machlokas between Rashi, Tosus, and even within those shitas, there are other shitas. We'll just give the basic machlokas between Rashi and Tosus over here, what was actually written. Everybody agrees it said on the tzitz, Kodesh LaHashem. It is holy for Hashem. However, there's a problem. Rashi says you can't put the word Kadosh or Kodesh on the top of the Kodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So you can't have the word Kodesh on the first line and then Hashem on the second line, because that would be inappropriate to have Hashem's name on the second line and not on top. You can't have the word Kodesh on top of the word Hashem. So Rashi's understanding of these words is going to be based upon you must have Hashem's name on the top. On the other hand, Tosfos says no. It says Kodesh LaHashem, but you can't have the word Kodesh on top of Hashem, so you have to make sure that Kodesh is at the beginning of the second line, and Hashem is at the end of the first line. Therefore, Hashem's name is still above Kodesh LaHashem, but when you're reading it, you see the words Kodesh LaHashem before you see the shame Hashem. In any event, we'll see this inside now. So the Gemara says, Kosov Olov Shtei Shitim, it's written on it two rows, and on the top row, it has the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Now, we only say Yud-Kei over here. Tosfos points out that that's a shame, but that's not the full shame that we're referring to. So this says on the top line, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, that's the shame of the four-letter word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Milmala, which we never pronounce. We always pronounce this as the Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud type of pronunciation, but when it's in the Beis HaMikdash, it was pronounced with the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei pronunciation, and that was on the top line. And then the Kodesh, and we have the Lamed from Kodesh La Hashem, the Kodesh and the Lamed, Mulmata, were below it on the second line. So, in Rashi's understanding, you just have the words Yudke Bavke on the first row, and then right underneath it, you have Kodesh La, you have the second word Kodesh, and the letter Lamed for the Kodesh La Hashem. And it's just written upside down, so to say. You have Hashem first, and then Kodesh La. That's the opinion of Rashi's understanding over here. And Toso says, no, doesn't make sense to do it that way because it's not reading it properly. So he starts off the word Kodesh Hashem on the second row at the beginning of the second row, and then he has the word Yud-Kei Vav-Kei Hashem at the very end of the first row. There are other variations of this as well, but that's the simple understanding over here, Machlokas Rashi Tosus. Now, for Omer Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi, along comes Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi, and he says as follows, Ani Reisiv, I myself saw it. Rashi alludes to the famous Maisa in the Gemara Me'ilah, where there was a vicious decree against the Jewish people that they would be destroyed. So they sent two of the great Tanoim, they sent Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and they sent Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi to go and fight the Romans with this decree. Originally, Rabbi Yossi didn't want his son to go with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai because he was afraid that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai would get angry at his son. He in fact did, but he ended up saving Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi. In any event, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai went to the king. They made a concocted plan with Ben Talmayon, who was a shade. This shade went into the daughter of the Kesar, made her crazy, and they whispered in the daughter's ear, now it's the time for the shade to leave, and the shade left. And therefore the king said, okay, you can go to my treasury and take whatever you want for saving my daughter. They went to the treasury, and they ripped up the evil decree against the Jewish people. That treasury was where they stored many things. So that's what now Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Ani Reisiv Baromi, I myself saw the tzitz in Rome, where they hid it in the basement over there with the Caesar, where he had all his treasures, and the tzitz was there as well. The cause of a love, and it said, Kodesh Lashem Beshito Achas. He says, what are you talking about that there were two rows over here? There was one row. It just said, Kodesh Lahashem, in one row. I myself saw it. So he's testifying that he saw the tzitz. How can anybody go against it? If he said, I saw the tzitz, and this is what it said on it. So the simple answer is, no, that was a mistaken tzitz, and that's why it was thrown away. And it's not buried underneath the Beis HaMikdash with the other Big Day Kahuna, or something like that. Others say, no, that Bidyevet, it would be good if you wrote Kodesh Lashem, and this was a Bidyevet type of a tzitz. In any event, there's a machlokus over here as to what the wording of the tzitz was. One line, two lines, how it was phrased, but everybody agrees that the tzitz was only two etzbos. So why aren't we comparing the kaporis to the tzitz rather than comparing the kaporis to the miskeris? So Gemara says, because the tzitz isn't the kli. And therefore, if you have a choice of comparing a kli, the kaporis, to another kli, the miskeris, that's more preferable than to compare the tzitz, which is a malbish, it's a beged, to something that is a kli, like the kaporis. And that's what the Gemara says, donin kli mi kli, vein donin kli mi tachshit. Tachshit, Rashi explains, is malvush la'odom. So this is a garment, so to say. This is a clothing. And we don't compare a kli to a clothing if you could compare a kli to a kli. So the Gemara says, okay, if you want to compare it to a kli, so then compare it to the zer. The pasuk says, v'yosisalo misgeres tofak sofer. That's the pasuk that we brought down about the misgeres. Then it's added to the shulchan. And then it also says, v'yosisa zer zohov l'misgarato sofer. Then there is this decorative zer. It's like a little border above the border for this misgeres. So why don't we compare the kaporis to the zer rather than comparing it to the misgeres? The zer is a mashu. So when it says, v'nelef mizer, d'omamar, zer is a mashu. Any amount is good. So therefore, the kaporis just has to be a cover. It could be a very, very thin cover. So when it says, no, because don in kli mi kli, vein don in kli mi hechshu kli. The miskeres is considered part of the kli, which we'll question in a moment. We just said before that it really wasn't part of the kli. In any event, right now we're saying the miskeres is part of the kli, and the zer is a decorative ledge to the kli, and therefore the indon and kli, mehechshu kli. If we're going to compare the kaporis to something, compare it to the kli, which is the miskeres, and not to this decorative hechshu kli zer. Where it says, if that's so, ihachi, miskeres nami hechshu kli. Wait a second, the miskeres is also decorative in nature, isn't it? And therefore, why is it any different than the zer? So where it says, no, it's different. Misgarto lemato haisa. Now, there are diagrams of this that you can see in the Pirush Chai and in the Illustrated Gemara. If you look in the Illustrated Gemara, we'll look at page 10, diagram number 30, and page 11, diagram number 31. And in the Pirush Chai on page 15, if you look at diagrams number 65 and number 66, and then you'll also see diagram number 67 in a moment, that is what we're referring to when we say the miskeres and the zer, and when we're saying the miskeres is above the table or the miskeres is below the table. As the Gemara now says, this works out great, that the miskeres is lamata haisa, that the miskeres is not considered hechshu kli, it actually is supporting the table, it's underneath the flat top of the shulchan, and therefore the miskeres is an essential part of the kli. That's why we compare the kaporis to this essential part of the kli. Miskarto lamata haisa, so honich lamandi omi miskarto lamata haisa, because it's an essential part of the kli, it's not a hechshu kli. But according to the other man, the Omar, miskarto lamala haisa, that the miskeres was above the legs and above the table, not above the legs and below the table, but it was actually a border around the top. So then it's a hechshu kli. Michael and Amar, hechshu kli hu. So then it's no different than the zer. So why don't we compare the kaparis to the zer? According to the man, the Omar, it says the miskarto, the miskeres, is above the shulchan. So Gemara says, no, still it makes sense. Makes sense still to compare something that the Torah actually gives it a real mida, gives it a measurement. The miskeres, it tells us it's tofach soviv, as opposed to the zer, which it doesn't give us a mida. So it makes more sense to compare the kaparis. Compare the kaporis to the miskeres, and therefore don't compare it to the tzitz, which was a half of a tefach, because it doesn't specify that. That's a din d'rabbanan, according to many. And the zer, which it just says is a mashu, it doesn't have any substance to it necessarily. Shelo nitno bohen torah mida klal. So we don't want to compare the kaparis to something which doesn't have a specified amount that it has to be. Compare it to the smallest specified amount, and that is the misgeris. So that answers both why we don't compare it to the tzitz and why we don't compare it to the zer. Now the Gemara says another reason, how do you know that the kaparis is one tefach? This was the reason that Rabbi Chanina brought down, and now we have Rav Huna. Rav Huna Amar Mehocha. He says that you can learn that the kaparis is one tefach from the following. It says, Al pnei hakaporis kedma. Now others have a different pasuk over here, and they say that it should be el pnei hakaporis, not al pnei hakaporis kedma, a different pasuk. In any event, whichever pasuk it is, Rav Huna says this is where you learn it out from. Upon him, a face, pnei hakaporis, is in ponim pachos mitefach. Ponim has to be a tefach. So face is a tefach, and therefore this must be referring that the kaporis is a tefach, because it's al pnei hakaporis. The face of the kaporis must be a tefach. Where it says, Ve'emor, maybe it should be in return to the Amud Beis, Hey Amud Beis, Ve'emor, Ka'apei, the Bar Yuchni. Maybe it's a huge face of this Bar Yuchni, which we said many times is a very, very big bird. Some suggest it's like an ostrich, but there are agadah stories that it was a huge bird in any event. So the face of a Bar Yuchni is much larger. It doesn't say what type of a face it is. So where it says, no, Tafasimu, Belo Tafasimu, 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 the same principle. If you're taking the largest face around, you take the face of an elephant, you take the face of a Bar Yuchni, so that's a much larger face than maybe the face means. But if you take the smallest face, which is the face of a person, so then it must be the face of a person, which is one tefach. Or it says, really? That's the smallest face? Maybe it's a very small bird's face, which is an etzba or less. So maybe it's a very, very small amount. The zutar tuva, which is much, much smaller. So it says, Taka, you're right. Amar vacha bar Yaakov, Rav Huna, pnei gomar. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that he learns it out from the following Gzerushava, pnei gomar. It says over here, Ksiv Hocha El Pnei HaKaporis. It says the face, the cover of the Kaporis. Before we get there, the Pasuk Al Pnei HaKaporis Kedma. So here we have a different Pasuk. That's why some said that the Pasuk before should have been El Pnei HaKaporis as well. And then it says, by Yaakov Avinu, it says, Ksiv Hosam Me'es Pnei Yitzchok Oviv. So we see the usage of the word Pnei by the Kaporis, and we see the usage of the word Pnei in regards to Yitzchok. So therefore, it is talking about the punim of a person and not the punim of a tzapirta or the punim of a larger animal like a Bar Yochni. Where it says, but still, v'nelech mipanim shomala. Maybe we should learn it out from the panim shomala. What does it say there? Tachsiv kiros pnei elokim b'tutzeni. When Yaakov fights with the malach, he says, it's like I'm seeing pnei elokim. And there, the face is certainly larger. The face of an angel is mistama larger than the face of an adam. It shouldn't be a tefach. So where it says, again, tofasta murbalo tofasta, tofasta mu tofasta. We have the same rule multiple times in today's share and in general, that when you take too large a possibility, so then it's not going to definitely work. But if you take the smaller the possibilities, evad, they're going to be okay. So therefore, we say that the kaporis is going to be the size of the smaller face, the pnei of an adam, which is a tefach, so then it's fine. If you say it's a larger face, who says that that's what it really means? Where it says, okay, v'nail of mikruv, if you're telling it's the name from the face of a human, so then let it be the face of the kruvim. The kruvim are human, younger humans, structures. The pasuk says, ela kaporis, you pnei kruvim. On top of the kaporis, you have the kruvim. And the kruvim, we'll see in a moment, are a young boy and a young girl. So their faces are smaller than a tefach. So maybe the kaporis is smaller than a tefach. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, no, that's not correct. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, Gimiri, ein pnei kruvim pechusim mitefach. He says, no, we have a tradition. That's our Mesorah, that the kruvim's, their face, was a tefach. And that's actually where we learn it out. Rav Huna nami mehocha gomir. Rav Huna just said a minute ago that Rav Huna pnei gomar, it was from the actual punim of the kruvim that we learned this din from, and the punim of the kruvim are as tefach. And therefore, that is the source that the kaporis is a tefach thick. Mar says, what does the word kruvim actually mean? Umay kruv, what does the word kruv mean? So it's actually, the kaf is a kaf hadimyo, and it's comparing it, kir ruv. Amar Rav Yavo, kir ravya. It is compared to the face of a child. Ravya, shekem bavavol, korin li yenuka ravya. They call a young child a yenuka, one who suckles. A young child is called a ravya. So kruv is kir ravya, kir ruv. And therefore, that's why it is referring to the face of a smaller person. The face of an adult, mistam, would be larger than a tefach. So that's the derivation. The kaporis is a tefach because we compare it, pnei, to the face of a kruv, which is a tefach. Gemara says, really? Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, wait a second, amayata. What about you can do with the following pasuk? The pasuk from Yecheskel tells us, d'chsiv, pnei ho'echod, pnei ha'kruv. Upnei Hasheni, Pnei Adam. It tells us that one of the faces, this is talking about the Merkava, the Maisa Merkava from Yecheskel. So he tells us that one of the faces on the Merkava was like the face of a Kruv, and the other one was the face, another one was the face of an Adam, implying that Kruv and Adam aren't the same thing. So therefore, how can you tell me that Kruv is a young person? Shmuel says, no, Ape Ravrave, Viape Zutra. That's exactly what it's telling us. One is a large face, and one is a small face. They're different entities, so to say. One's a large adult, and one is a child. And therefore, it's not a problem that we call one Pnei Kruv, and the other one we call Pnei Adam. So good, we have our derivation over here. This is how we know that the Kaporis is one Tefach plus the 9 Tefachim of the ark itself, and therefore it's 10 Tefachim. Gemara says, how do we know? Umay the Chalolo Asara Bar Misuchacha. Okay, you've established the Sukkah has to be 10 Tefachim, but who says that doesn't include the Schach? Maybe the 10 Tefachim is the entire height of the Sukkah, so it could be, for example, 9 Tefachim, and then the Schach is 1 Tefach, so the total height has to be 10 tefachim. Who says it's from the airspace, from the ground up to the bottom of the schach, has to be 10 tefachim? Maybe, in fact, it is 10 tefachim, including the schach. We might the chalala asara bar misuchacha. How do we know that it doesn't include the schach? Ema bahade schacha. Maybe it actually includes the schach. So, Taka, we can't really learn this out from just the Aron and the Kaporis. So, the Gemara says, you're right. Ella mibeis olam gomar. This is a complicated derivation that we're going to learn out from the varying sizes of the structures in the Beis HaMikdash compared to the Kruvim, and the various sizes in the Mishkan compared to the Kruvim. So we say as follows. We learn it out from the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Olamin is the Beis HaMikdash. The Chsiv, it says by Shlomo HaMelech, V'abayis asher bono HaMelech Shlomo, that structure, the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built, is LaHashem, and it is Shishim Amo Arko, the Esrim Rochbo, Ushloshim Amo Kumaso. The dimensions of the actual bias of the Beis HaMikdash were 60 Amma in length, 20 Amma in width. The 60 Amma in length included the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, and its width was 20 Amma throughout the entire area, both the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, and its height, Ushloshim Amo Kumaso, its height was 30 Amma. Now, we see that the height is 30 Amma, Uksiv, and it says, Komas HaKruv, that the height of the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash, each of them was 10 amma tall. So the ratio of the height of the Kruv to the height of the total Beis HaMikdash is a 1 to 3 ratio. It's 10 to 30, 1 to 3. That's important. So we see that the ratio in the Beis HaMikdash between the Kruvim and the height of the actual bias of the Beis HaMikdash was a 1 to 3 ratio, 10 amma to 30 amma. V'tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Mabatzinu Beis Olamim, just like we find by the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kruvim Bishlish HaBayisim Omdim, that the Kruvim took up 1/3 of the height, so too, Mishkan Nami, it must be that in the Mishkan that same ratio applied, and the Kruvim would be Bishlosh HaBayisim Omdim, the Kruvim would be 1/3 of the height of the Mishkan. Now, how tall was the Mishkan? Mishkan HaKamahabi. Eser Amos. The Mishkan was 10 Amos tall, as the Pasuk tells it, Dersiv, Eser Amos Orech HaKerish, the Krushim, which were the walls of the Mishkan, were 10 Amma tall. So if the entire total height of the Mishkan is 10 Amma, and 1/3 of that is going to be the Krushim, so how many Tvachim are there in 10 Amos? Kama Habi Lahu, how many Tvachim are there in 10 Amos? So there are 6 Tvachim in each Amma. If you have 10 Amos, it's going to be 10 times 6, so it's going to be 60. Shisin Pushrei, there are going to be 60 Tvachim. Pushrei is the word that we use for Tvachim. So the height of the Mishkan is 60 Tvachim. 1/3 of that would be 20 Tvachim. So Tilse Kamahavi Esun Poshli. So 1/3 of the 60 is going to be 20 Tvachim. So based upon the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash having a ratio of Kruvim 10 Amma to the height of 30 Amma, so you just have a simple equation, it has to be 1/3. So 1/3 of 60 Tvachim is going to be 20 Tvachim. So therefore the Kruvim must have reached to 20 Tvachim. Now, Dala Sara the Aron Mechaparis, the Kruvim were on top of the Aron Mechaparis. We said that that's 10 Tvachim. The Kruvim are going to be up to the height of 20 Tvachim, because the Kruvim are going to be on top of the Kaporis, and they reach up to 1/3 of the height of the total Mishkan, so they're going to reach up to 20 Tvachim, so you have 10 of the Aron and the Kaporis, therefore they're going to have 10 of the Kruvim, and therefore, Dal Asara, the Aron and the Kaporis, partial Asara. So the Kruvim were actually 10 Tvachim tall from the bottom until their top. Now, Uksiv, Vayu HaKruvim Parse Chenofayim Lamala. The Kruvim spread their wings, one to the other, above their heads, Lamala. Sochichin b'chanfeim ala kaporis, and they cover up as a schach over the kaporis. Now, if the kruvim are 10 tvachim tall above the floor of the kaporis, which is the top of the kaporis, above the floor, that they're sochachin b'chanfehem, that they're making schach over it. So therefore, you see that the schach, since it's above the kruvim, so the kruvim are 10, so the schach is above the 10. Oh, kaya rachmona sechacha l'mala me'asari. Here we see the raya, that the schach is not included in the 10 tvachim, the schach is above the 10 tvachim. And this is our raya, that when you measure out the size of the sukkah, it's not including the schach. The minimal amount is 10 tvachim from the ground up until the bottom where the schach starts. It has to be a full 10 tvachim, not including the schach. So therefore, that is how we know that the height of the sukkah is 10 tvachim without the schach. Where it says, "Mimai the Gadfinhu ilave reshayu kaime." How do we know that the wings are on top of their heads? How do we know that the wings, which are porsim kinofayim lamala, are in fact directly above the heads of the kruvin? Maybe Dilma lahade reshayu kaime. Maybe they were actually directly even with their heads, and therefore it is included in the tenth vachim. So that can't be Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, because this is Lamalaksib, because it tells us that Porosif Nafayim Lamala, Sochachim Lechamfayim Alaka Poros, and therefore it is above it. No, if it's above it, who says it's right above it? Vema de Midle Tuva, maybe it's not directly above it, maybe it's 5 Tvachim above it, and in fact, the Sach has to be 15 Tvachim above the ground. Someone says, no, that can't be either. Miksiv Lamala Lamala, doesn't say it's above, it basically just says it's directly above it. So we darshan the pasuk, the kruvim are parasei chenofayim, they spread out their wings above their heads, which is 10 tvachim above the bottom of the floor, which is the top of the kapores, and it's then Lamala, immediately, sochachim chanfeim ala kapores, they make the schach, and therefore this is how we learn out the double drasha over here of the kruvim to the Parsim Chanofayim, that the Schach is not included in the height of the 10 Tvachim. Okay, a little bit of a complicated drasha. Now we go back to what I mentioned earlier in the Shirin yesterday, that this is dealing with an Amma that is 6 Tvachim. What happens if you go like the sheet that it says the Amma is only 5 Tvachim? So, Hanich L'Rab Meir, the Amar Kol Amos, Hayu, Hayu Beinonios. This, everything that we said till now works out great, according to Rab Meir, who says that the Amma that we're dealing here is with a 6 Tefach Amma. Fine. Everything we just said works out perfectly. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Bar Pluk, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Amma Shel Binyan, Shisha Tvachim, when you're dealing with the height of the actual Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan, then everything is dealing with 6 Tvachim to an Amma. But when you're dealing with a Kalim, and the Aron is a Keli, Mishal Kalim, it's Chamisha Tvachim to an Amma. And therefore, Michael Amema, what are you going to say? Aron the Kaporis, Kama Habi Luhu, Tamnayo Palga. If we're saying that it's 5 Tvachim to an Amma, and the Aron itself is 1.5 Amma, so 1 Amma is 5 Tvachim, half of that is 2.5. Together it's 5 plus 2.5 is 7.5, plus we've proven that the Kaporis is 1 Tefach, so that's 8.5 Tamnayo Upalga. We're short, Pashaluhu, Chad Sri Upalga. We're short over here from the top of the Kruvim, which we said is 20, so you only have 8.5 of the Aron and the Kaporis, so you're short 11.5. Parshul Hu was short, Chad Sri, 11, Upalga, and a half. So maybe the height of the Sukkah has to be 11.5. Ema Sukkah, Adda Havya Chad Sri Upalga. Let us learn out that you need to have an airspace of 11.5, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that a Amma is only 5 Tvachim. Where it says, Taka, you're right. Elo, Rabbi Yehuda, Hilchasugumir Law. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda has to learn this out as Aloch L'Moshe Misinai. He doesn't learn it out through all the Durashos that Rav Meir could darshan it out. He says, the Amar Rav Chia Barashi, Amar Rav, Rav Chia Barashi says the name of Rav, that Shiurin, all of these measures that we're dealing with, and the halachas of chatzitzin, what constitutes a chatzitzin, an interposition, for example, in tefillah, u'machitzin, and also what constitutes a machitza, what makes something a separate entity from something else, what halachically constitutes a mechitza, all of these dinim, shiurim, chatzitzin, or mechitzin, are all halach l'moshe Sinai. We don't have a derivation for this. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And that's what Yehuda says. We know that the height of a sukkah without the schach is 10 tvachim, because it's halach l'moshe Sinai, not because of the derivations that Rameir had. However, the more questions is, it says, really? You're telling me that shiurim are not deraisa? Shiurim deraisa, ninu. What are you telling me? Shiurim are, in fact, deraisa. A famous pasuk. The pasuk says, "Dichsev eretz chita usora v'gef v'nusein v'rimon eretz zeis shemun udvash." The pasuk that tells us about the wonderful things in Eretz Yisrael, the zayin minim of Eretz Yisrael. We have the chita, which is wheat, the barley, which is sora, the gefen, which is the vine, te'ena, which are the figs, the rimon, the pomegranate, and then it says, zeis shemen, the olives, udvash. Now, dvash always means that it's dealing with the date honey in this situation, not with bee honey. In any event, this pasuk tells us, V'yomer Rav Chanan tells us that we darshan this pasuk for all the shiurim in the Torah. Kol ha-pasuk hazeh li-shiurim ne'emar. This pasuk tells us all of the derivations of the shiurim for all the different areas where we have shiurim. For example, it says Eretz Chita. So Chita is telling us the halacha of Leves HaMenuga. What is the din of Leves HaMenuga? So we learn in the Mishnah in the Goyim, the Tnan. It says over there, Hanichnas Lebayis HaMenuga. If you go into a house that has tzaras, again, we mentioned many times, tzaras can affect the person, it can affect clothing, or it can affect the house. Anyone who says that it's pure leprosy, so obviously that's incorrect. We don't have such an entity called leprosy that affects a garment or a house. So whatever tzaras is, it's not leprosy. In any event, Hanichnas Lebayis HaMenuga, if a person enters into a house that has a nega on it, so anything in the house that has a nega on it is tame. So if the person is carrying things with him, the Kalov, Aksepov, he's carrying clothing on his shoulders, not wearing it, he's carrying it on his shoulders, or the Sandlov, the Tabosov, the Yado, or he's carrying his sandals and his rings in his hand. He's not wearing them on his feet or on his fingers, he's carrying them. So in that situation, the minute he enters the Beis HaMenuga, who, himself, the Hain, and any of the things that he's carrying, the clothing, or the shoes, or the rings, Tamei Miyad, instantly they become Tamei. Because as soon as you enter into the Beis HaMenuga, anything that you're carrying becomes Tamei right away. Now we turn to Vav Amud Aleph. However, Hayolavush Kalov V'Sandalov Biraglov, if he was wearing his clothing, or he has on his shoes, his sandals, or he has on his fingers his rings, he's wearing all of these things, so that he himself, who tamei biyat, the person becomes tamei immediately. The hain tahorim, but all of his items that he's wearing, the clothing that he's wearing, the shoes, the rings that he's wearing, don't become tamei unless at sheyisha b'chtei achilas pras, until he stays in the house long enough to eat achilas pras, a certain amount of food. And what type of food is this? This is paschit, this is bread that will be easily digested, easily chewed, which is from wheat, the lo pasor, and not bread that comes from barley, which is more difficult to chew. Mesev, he has to be doing this while he's eating comfortably in a reclining position. They used to eat roller reclining, so again, it would go down faster. Vochab liftin, he'd eat it with some sort of an accompanying thing, a spread or a dip, or something that would allow it to be eaten faster. So this shear, how long it takes you to eat this pras of bread, this half of a meal of bread, this pras of bread, so it's a certain type of bread. It's wheat bread that you're eating while you're reclining with some sort of a dip or something accompanying it, and that is the shear of kedei achilas pras. So we see here that the word chita comes to tell us the shear of kedei achilas pras. Similarly, the next word in the pasuk siora, eretz chita u'seora, that comes to teach us the following. The Mishnah in Olos tells us that nan etzem kiseora, when you're having a amount of human bone that is metame, so if you have even the size of a bone that is kisora, like a barley corn, metame b'maga uvemasa, it is had the capability of being metame something by just coming into contact with it, b'maga, or by masa, even if you don't come into contact with it, but you carry it, you're also going to become tame by carrying this etzem kisora. However, it will not have the ability to give tumas ohel, the eno metame b'ohel. For that, you need a larger amount. The Mishnah Nolos discusses whether you need the Rov Binyan or Rov Minyan. You need the majority of the body or the majority of the bones of the body, or if you're dealing with the vertebrae, if you're dealing with the skull, different amounts. But certainly, if it's only Etzem Kisori, it's not Matami Tumasol. So here we have another shear. The shear of Asaura is to tell us that if you have a bone the size of a barley corn, of Asaura is Matami B'maga B'masa, but not Boha. The next item, Eretz Chita Asaura Geffen. What is Geffen for? That tells us Kidei Revias Yain Lenozer. The amount of wine that a Nozer drinks, for which you'll get Malkus for, is if he drinks a Revias' worth of wine. Now, what exactly is this referring to? So Rashi tells us when we say Kidei Revias Yain, when it tells us it's Kidei Revias Yain Lenozer, it says Bishar Isure Nozer. In regards to all the other Isurim, not talking about the wine, but in regards to the other Isurim of a Nozer, there's an opinion that the Gemara says in Nazir, the chartzanim, the lulavin, the seeds, the skins, and the vines themselves, the olive and the leaves, mitstarfin l'shir revius yayin. They can all come together, if you eat them, to make the shir of revius of yayin. Shem yitnem l'kos mola yayin. If you put them into a cup that has wine in it, sa'at sheyetzim yenu revius yayin. If you displace the Archimedes' principle, that if you displace that amount of wine, that when you displace a revius, that's how much, if you ate of the zogim and the chartzanim, the lulavin and the alim, that you would be chayef for. So you displace a revius of wine And there's a difference between whether you're displacing water or you're displacing wine. That's the chiddush over here. Mishum d'yayin avu, yayin is thicker, it's more viscous. V'ino amar lotzeis, it won't leave so quickly, it will hold on through its viscosity. El nivratz v'nigdash al svasakos, it will pile up on the edge of the cup, it won't spill over. It's more viscous, it's thicker than water. So therefore, when you're misharing over here, the shiurim for the chatzanim, lulavim, olav, and the other parts of the grape other than the wine, so then you have to fill it up with a kos of yayin, and how much you displace when you displace a revias, that's the shear. So that's what Geffen comes to teach us. Then it says, the next in the pasuk, it's te'ena, figs. What does that come to teach us? So figs are kigrogeris leotzah Shabbos. In regards to ilchah Shabbos, when a person carries something to be over nisa deraisa, to be punished, so you have to carry a dover choshev, a significant amount. So for most things, that significant amount is considered like a grogeris, a fig, that is a dried fig. So therefore, this dried fig, if you carry that much of an item that doesn't have a separate chashivas to it, so then in general, the amount of chashivas is considered a kegrogeris. So that's what we need te'ena for in the pasuk. So again, every one of these things in the pasuk is giving us a shear. Again, back to our original question, how can you tell me that the shear mehalocha l'moshe mishinai, they all seem to be based on this pasuk. Next in the pasuk tells us rimon, a pomegranate. Under what shear does the pomegranate fall? That's not. That's an indifferent Mishnah in Kalim, which tells us at what point does a Kali lose its status of being a Kali? It's considered a Shivrei Kalim, and it's no longer a Kabbal Tuma. It's a broken Kali. So it has a hole in it. What size hole? Called Klei Bali Batim Shiuran Kirimonim. For a Balabais's hole in his pot, so if it can have a pomegranate go through it, he's going to throw it away. If it's smaller than a pomegranate, okay, he won't be able to put liquids in there. The liquids will all pour out, but he'll store solids in there. He'll store his apples in there. He'll store his watermelons in there. But once it reaches the size of a remote, so then even a Balabais is going to say it's just not worth it to keep such a Kli around, and he throws it away. It's considered a Shivrei Kalim, and at that point, it's no longer Mekabel Tumah. It lost its status of being a Kli. So that's the shear for Rimonim. Then it says, Eretz, Zeis, Shemen, Udivosh. Now we have the word Udivosh in parentheses, we're not yet darshening that, and that's why the Masoros HaShas says that in the Yalkut, it doesn't have it there. In any event, we're going to read it in a moment, so it's no big deal if we read it now, but right now we're darshening on the Eretz, Zeis, Shemen part. So you have olives. So what does it mean, olives? What's that for? Eretz, Shekol, Shiurel, Kizesim. In Eretz Yisrael, that's all the shiurim are the size of kizayis. Ah, kizayis. That's the well-known shiur to everybody, a kizayis. All shiurim are kizayis. Where it says, what are you talking about? You just gave us a whole bunch of other shiurim. You just told me the shiur for kedei achilas pras, for etzem kisa ora. You told me for a gethen, for te'ena, for rima. What are you talking about? That all the shiurim are kizayis. Kol shiurim, sal kedaita? Really? What about all the other stuff? It says, Ha'ikohani darina. We just said a whole bunch of others. We said, yeah, that's how we met. Elema shirov shiurim kizayisim. The most common shiur. If you ask a kid in the fourth grade, fifth grade, you know any shiurim? Yeah, kizayis. So most shiurim are kizayis. Achila, stam achila is a kizayis. So therefore, most things are a kizayis. So that's what the shiur of Eretz Zeis Shemen is to teach us the shiur of a kizayis. And finally, devash. Again, devash means, Rashi tells us, Kol mine mesika kriyin dvash, anything that's sweet is called dvash. However, when we have in the Torah, it means tamarim, dvash tamarim. So it means date honey. So dvash is the shear. We just went through an entire mesachta in Yuma, ki koseves hagasa biyom kippurim, that the size of this shear of dates is a large date, the koseves hagasa. A person will remove his affliction if he eats a large date's worth of food. Less than that, chazal mishai, that he still will be inoy, so it won't remove the inoy. So when you have a shear of a koseves hagasa, a large size date, so that removes the inoy. So here we have seven shiurim that are beferish in the Torah. So the question is, how can you tell me that according to Rav Yehuda, all the shiurim are not min haTorah, they're all halacha l'moshe misinai, almo daraisinin. We just brought down this entire drasha that says that they're all based upon Torah law. How can Rav Chiya Barashi Amarav say that according to Rav Yehuda, all of these are halacha l'moshe misinai? We have the Beferish Pasuk. So the Gemara throws everything that we just said out the window. The Tizbar, you really think that everything we just said is that's the drasha midaraisa? Shiurim miksive. It doesn't say one word of shiurim in this entire pasuk. It lists the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is famous for. And we made all sorts of asmachtas over here. But shiurim miksive doesn't say it at all. Ella, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Omar Rav says that Rav Yehuda says that they're all halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Aye, what do you do with this pasuk? El hilchas eninu ukras smachta bi amhu. That really it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And this pasuk is an asmachta, it's an allusion to all of the shiurim. But that's not the source of the shiurim. We use this pasuk to remind us of what the shiurim are, but all the shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai. So that goes to the first statement that Rochia Barashi said over the name of Rav, who said that there are three things that are halacha l'moshe misinai. You have the shiurim that we just said, shiurim, and we also had chatzitza, and we also had mechitza. So the Gemara now questions, chatzitza and daraisa dinu. How can you say that chatzitza is a din that is a halach l'moshe misinai? It also has a scriptural source for it. It's a din daraisa, because the pasuk tells us, and throughout Shas we always question which pasuk this is. It says over here, d'chsev v'rachatz es b'soro b'mayim. That's the pasuk that we have in parentheses. So that is the correct pasuk. In many places it's rochatz b'mayim es b'saro, but that's the wrong pasuk. So it really should be rochatz es b'saro b'mayim, like we have in the parentheses over here, and as the Mesorah Shashas tells us, that that's the correct way to read this. So it says over here, you shall immerse the flesh of your body in the water. In other words, the flesh has to be in the water. B'saro b'mayim. Shelo yedo v'chotzeis b'no levein ha'mayim. That you can't have any chatzitza. So how can you tell me chatzitza is halacha l'moshe misinai? It seems to be with Irish pasuk v'rochatzes b'saro b'mayim. Gemara says, no. When Rav, Ruchia Barashi, Amar Rav, told us this halacha, k'asoy hilchasa, when he said that it's halacha l'moshe misinai, he was only referring to one specific aspect of chatzitza, and that's in regards to the din of hair, l'sa'oro. Hair would constitute a chatzitza. And this is based upon Kidirabba Bar Chana. As Rabba Bar Chana said, what did he say? Dama Rabba Bar Chana, Nimo Achas, a single hair, if it's kshura, if it has a knot in it, so then it is chotzetzes. The water won't be able to get into a single hair's knot. However, if you have three hairs that are tied together, shalosh, and they're tied together, ain't no chotzotzos. They're not going to be so tied tightly together that the water can't get in between the knots from these three hairs, and therefore it is not a chatzitza. So this is halacha l'moshe misinai, that one is a chatzitza, three are not a chatzitza, and shtayim ein yodea. We don't know what the halacha is for two, and this statement that Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, that is the halacha l'moshe misinai. But all the other types of chatzitza, they're based upon the pasuk. V'ruchatzes v'saro b'mayim. You have to go and immerse your flesh directly in the water without a chatzitza. So Gemara says, wait a second. Are you telling me that hair is not included in the pasuk? Sa'ar, nami daraisa ninu. Hair is also, sa'aro is nami daraisa. It's also beferish of the pasuk, because the pasuk says, d'chsiv, v'ruchatz es b'saro b'mayim. The word es is unnecessary. You could have just said, v'ruchatz b'saro b'mayim. What does the word es come to be marbe? S comes to include hatofel l'basara, something that is subordinate to the basar, to the flesh. And what is that? Umay nihu, se'aro. So hair is also included. You can't have any hair intervening between your basar and the mayim. V'rachatzis b'saro b'mayim. So you can't tell me that halacha l'moshe misinai is that hair, if it has a knot in a single hair, it is a chatzitza, but in three hairs it's not a chatzitza, that's the halacha l'moshe misinai. No. The pasuk tells me that hair can be a chatzitza. If it has a knot in it, it's a chatzitza. V'ruchatzes b'saro b'mayim, the S is teaching us the din of the hair. So again, what exactly is Rav Chiya Bar Ashi telling us in the name of Rav is the halacha l'moshe misinai regarding chatzitza? So our answers, ki asoy hilchasa, we're learning this halacha l'moshe misinai l'chad Rav Yitzchok. That's needed for the din of Rav Yitzchok. What did Rav Yitzchok tell us? The Amar Rav Yitzchok, and here we turn to Vav Omud Beis. As I said, we're preparing already for Shabbos and Tisha B'Av, so that it will be a little bit easier. We'll go through a little bit more of some of these short dafim. So we turn to Vav Omud Beis. The Rav Yitzchok tells us that min haTorah, dvar Torah, rubo umakbid alav. If a person has the majority of his hair having an interposition on it, so rubo, and he's makbid, and he doesn't want it, so it's two strikes, it's the majority, and he doesn't want it there, so then that constitutes a chatzitza. That's Torah law. However, v'she'eno makbid alav, if he doesn't really care about it, so then min hadin, min haTorah, eino chotzis, it's not going to be a chatzitza. However, along come the rabbis, and they made gzeira. V'gazru, the chacham came along and made gzeira, al rubo she'eno makbid mishum rubo ha-makbid. Because if the majority of it is a chatzitza, but you don't care about it, so then it might come to easily become, when there is a majority that you do care about, that you'll also say it's no big deal. But it is a big deal. So therefore, the rabbis would go to rubo she'eno makbid because of rubo ha-makbid. And likewise, v'al miyuto ha-makbid, if there's a minority that you're makbid on, min ha-Torah, that wouldn't be a chatzitza. However, if a minority that you machbir on is okay, then very quickly people are going to say, if the majority you machbir on, it's also okay. So therefore, the rabbis would go, that even if it's only minority, but you're machbir about it, they said, that's going to constitute a chatzitza in the Rabbanim, because otherwise it's going to very quickly lead to having the majority that you're machbir about, which is min HaTorah Aser, and you're going to say it's no big deal. Gemara says, "Ligzar nami amiyuto she'eno makpid mishum miyuto hamakpid." So then, why don't we also make a gzeira the rabbanon on a miyut that you're not makpid about, because it could lead to miyuto hamakpid, and therefore it should be a concern for even miyut she'ein makpid because of the miyut hamakpid, which we said is aser through a gzeira, or likewise inami mishum rubo she'eno makpid, or let it be because of the rove that you're not makpid on. So even a minority to makpid on should be chayiv. But this would then be gzeira l'gzeira. The whole thing, the Gemara says, he gufa gzeira, each of these that we just said, miyuto hamakpid and rubo she'eno makpid, each of those is a gzeira itself. And now you're going to make another gzeira on a miyut she'eno makpid? Oh, vanan nekom v'nigzar gzeira l'gzeira? So therefore, we don't do that, and therefore, this is not something that the rabbis will go through on. However, l'maisa, we even are concerned about this. L'chatchila, we try not to even have a miyut she'eno makpid. But after the fact, after the woman went to the mikveh, she finds subsequently that there were certain things that were a chatzitza, so it would depend on whether it was a miyut she'eno makpid or not, so there may be room to be makel, but in other situations, one needs to be machber, and one would ask for the woman to go to the mikveh again. With this, we conclude today's shir.